Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Deep Thoughts. Today, I'm going to take a viewer question. I write too much software. I apologize. The handle, I believe, is Drastic Rebel. Makes a lot of good comments. He, she, what have you, asked me, why do you suppose, I'm paraphrasing, that NASA and all these space agencies are faking all the aspects of the space program, and I think that's a great question, because I think that there's a knee-jerk response to the question, and I think there's a much deeper, potentially a much deeper question. On one spectrum of the answer, one could say, money. Just as simple as that, money. And when you launder money, you get to steal. Well, I should say this. If you launder money through projects, okay, $12,000 toilet seat. Obviously, a toilet seat's going to put you out maybe $10 if you're the government, because you're going to get them in bulk. So what do you do with the other gazillion billion dollars that you charge for the thing? We know that there's alphabet agencies that have had the luxury since pretty much most of the 20th century, they act against the people 24/7 to serve the banking oligarchy. It's a big fucking game. They love watching the world burn. They technically hate themselves, each individual that's willing to work for these organizations. They have zero capability of feeling empathy. And so they're just stealing the money on this side so they can control us. So that's one side of the answer. The other side of the answer is way over here, and you're, I guess, well within the membrane of conspiracy. I would think that the most outrageous definition would be sort of a heaven and hell thing, where supposedly maybe demons are here on Earth, and Earth is not a ball. It's a flat disc, round. It's bordered in by the ice barriers of the Antarctica, and this is a holy war. It's been going on. Truly a holy war. Satan, his minions against God and his angels. Right? Game of the century. The next one down, we'll lay all these out and then we can kind of have fun with the responses. But the next one down would be that somehow man has reached the edge of the dome. The flat earth disc snow globe dome, probably in most conspiracy circles, it would have been Adolf Hitler and his Nazis. It is really fucking weird that the guy went down south right in the middle of what he was doing. At no point was Hitler doing anything other than preparing for war or going to war or being in war. So to take a little break, hey, let's go to the Antarctica and hang out. You know, they wanted to hide U-boats down there and that kind of thing, which, okay, long ways away to hide a fucking U-boat, people. Why not go off the coast of Africa or the coast of South America? But anyway, human beings find the edge of this dome, and in their hubris, not us, these people, they decided to deny us our closeness and proximity with the Creator. Again, we're talking about 500 years ago, so I shouldn't portray it as being super duper recent, but we're talking about the space programs. Well, the space programs do this, right? Some people have named the Jesuits. It's funny how there's just like a cyclical bad guy, you know? At one point, it's, you know, 10 years ago, it was Jews, and now it's the white Jesuits. But before that, it was the Masonic. Then it was the Bohemian Grove folks, you know. I don't know if every party's really trying to play in the control group. You know, it could be that a bunch of these people are just proxies of other control groups and they all go to do something at some place. I don't know. But anyway, mankind gets involved and wants to keep man away from God. Now here's my rub on that one. You mean to tell me that that man reached basically the front door to the Almighty Creator and had the balls to say, you know what, I am going to keep everyone inside this place away from you. You know, fuck you, God. I'm going to win this game. I don't think there's a mentally sane person on earth that would ever go to the dome wall and flip their bird at what they perceive to be a crater on the other side. I don't buy that at all. I heard a theory once of a British man. This guy, man, he was a card. He was giving some presentation at college. Super nerdy guy. One of these guys that needs attention. And he was actually saying he had this really close relationship with beings from another dimension. He even stood at the podium and he said, you know, when they speak, you can't really understand them because they speak way out of the phonetic range of normal, you know, hearing. So he's read a few sci-fi books and watched a few movies. And then he goes, well, I've learned how to speak their language. Let me show you. And he was talking dolphin. You know, he was just, it's like Yoko Ono fucking up some priceless moment in time, right? Anyway, what his story was talking about is the different races of aliens that come and the fact that they actually are keeping us slaves inside this place. And for him, I believe it was a round ball, heliocentric. But he showed a couple logos where the Earth is inside of a grid. And he said that that was a sign of those that are involved with the true cabal, which is that when you die, your soul is supposed to leave this planet and join the rest of the souls in the universe, but that this alien race has constructed this essentially soul force field around the Earth, and your soul goes up and bounces off and comes back, and then they grab you and they hold you down, and you're like in some penal system or some bizarre petri dish for these aliens. Again, you know, all these stories always lack any true cost-benefit analysis of anyone conducting these rituals, right? I don't know. I mean, what makes more sense to me is the Twilight Zone with the little girl. It's got the couple in her little fake neighborhood. You know, they wake up inside of a dollhouse. It kind of looks like a real house, but when they try to open a door, it pops off, and it's just flat wood underneath with some glue. Then there's David Icke's realm of lizard people. The lizard theory is kind of sort of split into two. I think it's calmed down quite a bit recently. But, you know, one of them, his theory is that they are, you know, the queen is truly one of these shape-shifting lizards. You know, it's almost like the Douglas Adams Incredible Bug Blaster Beast of Trial or whatever the hell it was, it could shape-shift. And if you shape-shift so much and you stay in a human form, then the idea that you would have any sort of predisposition towards the shape of a lizard is sort of silly, right? You're sort of this nebulous thing. You can be anything that you want. The idea that you would be called a reptilian is just, again, it's pulled from Carl Sagan's book that analyzed an age-old theory of the reptile inner core of man, right? A non-empathetic survivalist beast. Now, why a fucking reptile? I don't know, right? You know, I would much rather be likened to a lion, you know, with a nice long mane that's dominating the landscape of Africa, right? You know, it's just like, I don't know. Anyway, but the other side of the reptilian theory is that they are not truly reptilians that shapeshift into human beings. They're merely spiritual, and they possess the soul relationship with your body, getting you to do things that they want you to do. And again, for every person who comes into the comment section and says, well, I've seen a reptilian, you know, okay, you're going to make an outrageous claim like that and just be like one little half partial sentence. Well, I've seen reptiles. It's like, okay, well, give me your story. Help me out here, right? For people to come in and, you know, get all, again, butthurt about people believing that the world is anything other than a flat disc. Prove it, motherfucker. Prove it, you know? Just do me that favor. Don't come in with a huge attitude. Come in with your opinion that's different than mine or whatever, different than everyone else's. But don't come in with this sort of, you're a fucking idiot attitude, because it only makes you look like an absolute moron. If I tell you this fucking place is flat and it's a round disc, and I'm telling you that I have no doubt in my mind, the very next thing out of my mouth is the categorical proof of such a claim, right? I believe the world is heliocentric. Why do I believe the world's heliocentric? Because of expanding Earth. What the hell are our continents doing, all connecting together on all sides, tearing apart, as it were, right? A disc doesn't need that. A disc doesn't need to split apart. As a matter of fact, if any of you have taken, you know, two surfaces that are together and you pull them apart as a joint in a disc, right? One backside stays close together and the end tips get really far away. That's not what we're seeing, right? Maybe there's some logic to it, but you're going to have to own that if you want to refute it, right? So I go down those initial paths because I want people to understand sort of the, you know, if we're going to answer this question of why the space agencies would fake space, there's a lot of religions out there online that will fight over the answer. My just layman suspicion, we're going to go down other paths here. My layman suspicion is strictly the financial one initially. You know, most scams are not scams right from the very beginning. They were events, serendipitous events, just chance happenings where someone made a ton of cash. And then all of a sudden, someone goes, ooh, where did that come from? Well, you know, this thing happened. This thing fell over there and, you know, my chocolate got into my peanut butter and kapow, Reese's. All right. So there was this big pissing contest to own space. I'd have to say, just the very notion of that idea was just absolutely stunning. That someone said, you know, think about this. We'd never been in space before. Ever, ever, ever. Yeah, you shoot rockets up in the air, but they come back down, right? At the time that we are trying to figure out how the world's put together and how the universe is put together. And again, it was a very slow process of the last 500, 600 years. You know, first the thing is round, but Earth is in the center of the universe. Then it's round, but Earth goes around the sun. Then we postulate the galaxy. And we're this little speck of dust in these spiral wings of a galaxy. And then, you know, this is what's kind of funny. Then the galaxies are tiny specks of nothing as well, because the universe is so big. Isn't it interesting that the design principle of all theories outside of flat Earth is how fucking insignificant we are? The second we kind of grasp, you know, us being at the center of the universe, no, can't be at the center of the universe. It's all 666 all the way around, right? Sun goes through the galaxy at 666,000 miles an hour. We go around the sun 66,600. I mean, it's absurd. I think I got those right. If I got them wrong, it's one digit off. But it's all sixes, supposedly. I mean, what fucking sense does that make? The forgery is pretty amazing. We know we've got so much wrong in the fucking classrooms of this world. It blows the mind. Now, just that's way before you get to lying about going to the moon, going to Mars. Like yesterday, the robot lands on Mars and gives us this crusty-ass shot of Mars through some, you know, transparent camera lens cover or something, right? Again, there is no goddamn excuse on planet Earth why we shouldn't have continuous shots of these vehicles landing wherever the hell they're landing. Remember Titan? Remember the satellite that landed supposedly on the moon of Saturn? It's spinning around like crazy, and it's shooting all this crazy stuff, and then we got a shot for like a few seconds, and then it was over. Was this a joke? Is this a joke that that thing could take a shot for just a little while and never another shot? Never a shot like you know, the shots of Mars supposedly came back in the 70s? The Viking missions, right? I mean, if NASA was a software company, they would have handed in like a fucking pocket calculator in 1969, which would have been truly a revolutionary piece of software. Well, actually, they did that in the 40s, you know, with calculus for the military. But then, you know, like 50 years later, they might add an exponential button so you could multiply a number times a number to find its true value. I mean, they don't progress at all, right? How long has a space shuttle been exactly the same? Its whole fucking life, right? The only thing they did is change the paint job, swap out a few computers, you know. It was a joke. It never got innovated. Every time I have to get off a plane, I always think, God damn, the lack of innovation in airport design. And, you know, you got four doors on a fuselage and we're all crawling out one. Really? Yeah, some airports are smart enough to open the back door, but you got four doors. Why don't I get all four of them open? Let's all get the hell out of this fucking joint. Maybe move the doors. Maybe make them a little bit bigger. Maybe you pop open the top like the space shuttle. You know, I don't know. Maybe it's like subway doors, you know? Yeah, you're going to have to work on compression and with the cabin and all that kind of stuff. I digress. But someone had this idea of let's try to go into space. Let's try to put something in orbit. And orbit was really a mathematical theory up until the moment that we did it. You can throw something out so far that when it tries to fall back to the planet it started on, or star or whatever, it goes in a big circle. Because what's strange about that is that nothing actually usually starts that way. Like, things don't get in orbit around each other because you get knocked off another thing. Yeah, I know there's a big theory about the moon being the result of a Earth killer, you know, that just blew the whole place up. I don't buy that for a fucking second, right? Look at the moon, people. Does it look like it's made of anything that's on Earth? No. So this theory that it came from Earth is absolutely absurd, right? When you start to realize craters don't exist, it'll get a little bit further on you, right? But what is a magician's, one of the huge fundamental talents that a magician has to learn? Misdirection. And what is misdirection? Well, it's to create an out of sight, out of mind situation where you are looking over here and the dude is pocketing something over here or getting something out, transitioning, moving something around that would reveal the trick or at least give you a clue. Taken at a fundamental value, NASA is in the game of misdirection. Look on your monitor. Look at the fun CG pictures that we had created months before this mission took place. There is no risk. They don't take risks, right? They don't. The public thinks that they're seeing live-action footage. I watched a YouTube video last night where a guy was recalling an article, reading it about this landing of this new robot on Mars, and it actually said, live-action footage. Click here. And it's showing the animation of this thing shaped like a bullet that is flying backwards. It's unbelievable how fucking stupid that is. That some cone-shaped tip is going to naturally travel with the point up, right? How many times you fire a gun and the bullet always travels with the point moving forward? It's a mandatory thing. It's laws of physics. It's the friction against the atmosphere. What would it take to make a bullet turn around and put its ass first the whole way down? I think it would be impossible. Because even if you could get the thing projected in that direction, maybe a rail gun could do it because it's throwing it so quickly. I still think the projectile would turn around. Every single missile you've ever seen, every single piece of ordnance you've ever seen, has a pointy tip. And the pointy tip is the thing that hits the target, because it has to. It's just the way it is, right? And what's really goofy is the idea, okay, that you're going to enter orbit. And we're going to kill the moon hoax one more time here before, but I'm putting some in the in queue here. If you're to reduce friction such that you don't have a perilous situation of massive heat that you have to dissipate, how do you make cars? You ever seen cars designed with the wind tunnels? They are trying to cut down on what? Oh, what's that little F word? Not that one. Friction. Try to cut down on friction. So you want to have all of the atmosphere get pierced at its most optimal angle, such that the air can move around the shape as quickly as possible to create less friction. Again, if you got a parachute, then you're going to be able to slow down. There's no problem with that. Doesn't work like that, does it? They've got it turned all around upside down, creating the worst situation that you possibly could to bring the astronauts who came to the moon missions into the most dangerous configuration. They always talk about this exact angle, right? If it's too steep, it burns up. If it's too shallow, it bounces off. Well, the fucking thing is shaped like a bullet, and you let the nose cone go in first, right? With the point, I think all that angle crap will calm down quite a bit. One, you're not creating a massive amount of friction, which means you're not creating the massive amount of heat that is going to vaporize your unit. Dave posted an absolutely brilliant, I got to go look at the math on this claim. I'm going to mention it in the next moon mission one, so pardon for the advance repeat. But they say that, you know, the space shuttle comes in around 16,000 miles an hour into the atmosphere and has to have all these, you know, tiles to endure the heat. And then you have it taking off, and this is the claim, it's like 25,000 miles an hour to get out of Earth orbit, but it doesn't need any special shielding to get out. I mean, it does have tiles on it, but they never talk about, you know, fire coming over the nose cone as it's leaving and going into orbit. So I'm going to go do the math on that and make sure that's correct, but I thought that was a brilliant idea. So let me ask you this fundamental question before we try to go any further than just it's a way to steal money. That's the answer we're going to put out there. It's the simple one. Is NASA faking space? We have all kinds of areas that we use to answer that question. The Apollo missions. We have the space shuttle. We have the ISS. The International Space Station. Then we have them mixed together, right? We have China showing identical space station shots as ours. We know they're really good at making facsimiles of things. They typically don't polish it as much as we do, which is why I think they have some air bubble problems in their shots. The Russians, well, they're with us, and so they're inside of our camp. And again, if we hate that country so much, which is your left and right propaganda bullshit, then what the fuck are they doing on our space station? Right? Answer, we don't hate them. We're all in the same camp together, and that's why they've been invited and to share their brilliance and their capabilities. But okay, we haven't seen any stars in space in any goddamn footage that's supposedly live action from NASA. The only time we ever see stars is when they are taking these deep space Sophia shots out of a 747 and saying it's coming from this thing called the Hubble telescope. They come out of telescope arrays, radar arrays, right? But never with a human being going, hey, mom, how's it going? That never happens, does it? Again, I've never seen ISS footage where they take it and point it at the moon, take a camera and that really cool little pod that they like to sing David Bowie songs in, and point it out the window at the moon and just get a crystal clear fucking shot of the moon, right? Can you imagine? You're completely outside of the atmospheric distortion of Earth, which already looks pretty good, you know, with a nice zoom camera. I've taken some gorgeous shots of the moon. They don't do it. There's no aperture problems, man. If your eyeballs can see it, your cell phone can see it. Done deal. You can see the Milky Way. Guarantee it if you're out there. They don't have any of that shit. And what's interesting is that they will say stuff like, you know, will say stuff to each other like, how do they think they can get away with this shit, right? And because, you know, I go to smoke lounges where we actually talk about all this stuff. Like, all the deep thought stuff is my place. And the answer I always return back to anybody who gets to that point is I go, well, they are getting away with that shit. They're totally getting away with it. And they have gotten away with it from the very inception of NASA. Now, what's interesting is that we know that education, and, you know, I harp about this, and I realize there's themes that I repeat a lot in shows. Part of it's because I want to drive it into you to get you to think, you know. But the education is so bad now. How's a kid supposed to get an intellect to realize, wait a minute, that doesn't make any sense? When you are raised with something a particular way, well, you know, when NASA goes into space, there's never any stars because of the camera aperture and it's all bullshit, right? But if you're raised with that, then you tend to think that that's the norm, right? How many of you have ever had a best friend, or maybe you're one of these people, and your family just has some weird fucking shit that they do, right? I don't mean to cast dispersions, you know, do no harm as long as you're in that camp. I don't have any problems with your families. But, you know, you have that friend and their families are really weird, but they don't understand it's weird because they've always had this weird thing occur their entire lifetime. I once met a woman who's 60 years old, friend of a friend. She came from an upper class family, so old money, maybe middle upper. Because she didn't have billions or anything. But she had married into a good family. She came from a family. They came from overseas. She was first generation American. She's 60 years old. She told me that her family was a nudist family. Lived in a really nice house in upstate New York. But she says, so we're just, I mean, I'm messing with her computer. It's like 20 years ago. And she looks at me and she goes, you know, and so I'm already kind of like, oh, that's very interesting. You know, I've heard of friends of mine who have nudist families, like they just go home and everyone's naked like fucking Ferengis or whatever. And she goes, oh yes, my father had the most glorious balls. I was like, what? You know, it just, wow, that was a little too close for comfort in my opinion. Okay, that's how you can, that's the degree of which your brain can get adapted to something that doesn't make any sense to everyone else, at least, right? We can do no harm, I guess you're all right. But NASA taking our money, $60 million a day, probably more now, and that's not JPL's budget and all the other ancillary companies. If they can get away with it, and if they ever have gotten away with it, how do you put stars in the background of a set that's in a box, that's in water? How do you do that? You see these training facilities, quote unquote, right, of these astronauts testing their ISS, you know, maneuvers. Here they are inside of a big tank, and I mean a big ass tank of water. The astronauts don't put off any bubbles because they're living off of tubes that go back to a central system. So if there's any bubbles its way back there, like a fish tank somewhere. Scuba divers, now they're popping out bubbles like crazy. But how are these rooms configured? Right in plain sight, right? Got a whole set of the ISS, and then you have blue screen. Everything that's not the ISS in those rooms. The walls, the pipes, the floors, the ceilings, everything's blue. Like blue screen blue. Very specific chroma key blue that you take out of footage when you're editing. It's a movie set. It's a complete fucking movie set. It's not a training facility. It's a fucking movie set. If it's a training facility, then nothing would be pretty. nothing would be pristine. Oh, sure, you're going to have absolutely dead on, you know, duplicates of the space station components because you can't train on something that isn't going to have the right bolts and wires and shit, right? But you don't need to spend all the money to make the damn thing blue. People. I recorded an episode yesterday that hasn't released. I don't know where it's going to release, but I mentioned the fact that there are these, you know, defected agents that after serving in the top intelligence companies, agencies in the entire world will come out 20 years later with nothing to gain. They're not selling a book, and they simply say, look, you guys believe a completely false reality. Like, they don't give you an exception to the rule. Well, that area is right, and this area is wrong. They just say everything that you believe is a complete magic trick. It's a game. It's bullshit, right? I'm going to digress for 1 second. I hope you guys like the fact. I know one guy said, hey, you probably shouldn't swear as much. And I do agree. I studied Kenneth Burke, the philosopher, and he made some really good points about you becoming who you who you portray yourself to be, sort of thing. This is the way I am, but isn't it nice that I can just say what you're feeling and you don't have to, like, I watched Lionel Nation, brilliant guy. He gets up to the point where he just wants to say fuck and he doesn't do it. Alex Jones goes right up to the point where he wants to say a dirty word and he won't go over because he's worried about some goddamn sponsor somewhere. Isn't it nice to be real? I mean, you know, that's one reason why it was SM radio, whatever it is, Sirius radio. You could finally hear people talk the way that they actually talk and make up your mind whether or not you like them or not. I was a little bit careful for, I think, the first 12 episodes. And then I moved on. I came back to my true self. I do apologize for the close mic work in season 1. It took me about half the season to figure out I could actually keep this thing away from my face. But anyway, back to the subject at hand. One of the interesting themes that I hear when it comes to global deception is a particular group, like the Jesuits. I haven't really heard this with the Jews. I just haven't. Jews are all about money problems and all this other stuff. And that's the accusation, of course. If you think the Rothschilds are Jewish, you are lost, let me tell you. But the Jesuits, the Masons, you know, I'm not really convinced because I haven't heard any claims of any kind that your money changers, which would be, I guess, your Rothschilds and your Habsburgs and all the royal families, you know, I've never really heard any rationale for them trying to deceive us from the shape of the planet, right? Again, if there's a wall and a dome and they know it, Then the only thing that I could remotely suggest, this is full-on conspiracy, right? I mean, this is like way outside the norm, which doesn't mean it's not true, but you go to the wall and you meet the caretakers. They're right there and they're like, all right, you figured us out. It's like the Truman Show, right? Jim Carrey's character gets to the edge of his ocean wall and it's this painting of sky, and he finds a staircase that goes into the wall, and he's going to leave. And man, they could have made a whole movie after that about what happened afterwards, you know. But they meet the dome owners, and they say, well, you're not supposed to find the edge, but congratulations that you did find the edge. Why don't you come in for some dinner? We're going to show you what this thing really is. And they go on the other side and they look back and they're like, oh my God, it's a big ass contact lens on the surface of, maybe a ball. It's just a little patch on top, right? And they say, well, that moon thing, it's an old sun. You know, we put it in here and getting it out is a little tricky. Oh, but supposedly, by the way, there was someone of the listeners came in. I have to look this up. Very fascinating. They said, I believe it was the Greeks that they cited as saying that there was an era before the moon. I think that's fascinating. It was in the in the history of mankind, in the history of celestial bodies of any kind, it would seem like that's just yesterday, you know, a few thousand years back. Well, what a great little premise of a story, right? So what is the other theory of the flat earth disc thing, right? I'm going to stick with that because it's got more pizzazz than just a money laundering scheme. Well, the other theory is that it's not really a dome, at least right over the edge of the ice. It turns back into lush tropical weather, and it has more ocean on the other side. It gets warmer, and that there are a bunch of islands out there, a bunch of continents out there, right? What is it, the guy that showed up in the Japanese airport and had a map of the Earth that was flat, but it had a bunch of other, far more land outside the disk than we have inside this disk. I don't believe there was any claim that had a wall after all those continents. Very interesting, right? What if, and this is what's a little puzzling to me with the amount of technology that we have today, that they don't attempt to fake it. They don't attempt to fake stars at all. They've made these mistakes, and, you know, they could just simply say, we've got a better camera now. This camera, you know, it's a big mission. It's going to be great. It's a Falcon 9. It goes up, turns on the camera, and all of a sudden, there's space. Oh, my God. We finally stopped using the old Kodak 110 from 1979. Now we can see stars. The fact that, again, we can't see stars is the most highly evident suspect smoking gun that all this shit's fake. No matter how much you want to believe it's true, it's fake. But now, what if they met the dome owners and the dome owners say, well, let's just say they're not that empathetic. They treat us like rats in a cage. And they simply look at us, whoever's the ambassador, and they say, well, here's the deal. If this shit catches on, if you don't organize very quickly into a treaty, let's say it's 1954, and get everyone on board and forbid human beings from figuring out where the hell you guys are, because you're in our experiment, you have heard about cataclysmic floods? Well, that's what's going to happen. We're going to raise the sea level. Most of you will die. We will take some choice individuals out, all of you guys, of course, and we'll repopulate the world. We're going to drop them off where? Right at the tip of Egypt, which is the center of a good landmass, keeping them nice and far away from the border. We're going to obviously get rid of all of the technology that you guys have put together, all the books that you've put together. We're going to rethink the story of how you figure this out. And we're going to try not to make the mistake again. Very much like that Star Trek episode where everyone was put to sleep and Data was the only one that couldn't get put to sleep because he was an android. And he had to lie to everyone when they woke up. But he accidentally forgot a few pieces of evidence in the medical bay. And so when they redid the scenario, put everyone back to sleep and reset everything, they got all the evidence perfect, and they never went back and found the planet that was hiding in the universe. Now, let's just say that it is the financial thing. Okay. You know, it's... I'm trying to think here of an analogy. I got one for you. Some dude is dating two chicks at the same time. Could be a woman dating two guys at the same time. For a little while there, life is all arranged. Like, you couldn't get this thing started unless things were serendipitously arranged where maybe one dude works at night and one guy works during the day, and so the woman's able to go back and forth, or the guy's able to go back and forth, hiding two relationships. Man, this stuff happens more often than you think. People have families, two families, right? Some guys are secret polygamists, right? If anything changes in the equation with these two outer people, the one person trying to date the two are going to run into a problem, because if both people get the day shift or both people get the night shift or both people say, will you marry me? I want to live together. Then the cabal falls apart. It explodes in your face. So every single day that transpires, you're on edge because you know this is going to eventually blow up in your face. And believe me, it will. John McCain's daughter in Los Angeles was discovered, right? Bill Clinton's kid in Arkansas was discovered. It always fails, right? Now, we could probably say in our group that NASA's already been caught. They've been caught because they never can produce a star in a shot. Even Elon Musk can't produce a goddamn star when he's trying to say his Roadster is out there floating in space. The ISS, well, they've mastered the internal shots, but can they master the moon showing up? And then, you know, as soon as they film any of this, nerds can pull up all of the astronomy software. And, I mean, they will isolate it down to the rotational craters that are visible. They will figure out exactly where they said the ISS was. They will simulate it in a computer, point the camera out the door, and find out if it's really accurate. So in order for NASA to forge the stars, they would have to essentially usurp and gain complete control over all companies that make astronomy software and sync it such that the shots and the software will all pan out and probably stage a bunch of nerds confirming that it's true. I think I'm giving them too much information. What do you think? I think the audience that goes rah-rah for NASA is starting to shrink, right? Starting to shrink big time. It's starting to get to a point where people are like, you know, it's just really funny. And this will further my point here. I've never seen more organic comments online trying to, you know, NASA trying to pat itself on the back or someone trying to say, hey, look what NASA just did. And people coming and going, no, they didn't. It's all CG. In the comment section, there's very few folks that come in and defend NASA in terms of being legit. They might defend NASA and say, well, this is fake, but this is good. You know, I totally respect that. What would be the byproduct of lying about space? What is the byproduct of lying about space? Let's just take it from that angle. You have an 8-year-old son or daughter, and they are turning into a space kid. Just like a lot of us. I was one of these kids. You buy him astronaut ice cream, dehydrated ice cream. You get him every coffee table book, poster, whatever, movie. And they believe that we are doing these things. They believe we've been to the moon. They believe that in their lifetime, they're going to go to Mars. Like they're physically, personally going to go to Mars. You know, it's going to be just like Total Recall, 1988. What's happening in that child? Well, they might go into aerospace. They might become a mathematician, a scientist of some form, scientist of mathematics, maybe a scientist of engineering. But let's take it another step further. What is the eventuality for that kid in real life? So they're being inspired at 8 years old, and they're going to hang on to it to 18. They're going to go into college and do at least 4 years. They're probably going to need a master's or a PhD in order to get a job at these organizations. So they're going to stay in school until they're 28. They will definitely be academically smart, right? Like we did in our fake intelligence episode. Will they ever become truly intellectual and deduce anything? I don't know. Schools today do not promote in any way, shape, or form intelligence. Sorry about that. We had a citizen of the United States who cannot figure out how to open their car door without setting off their own alarm. So if your kid stays smart but not intelligent, they probably will have a much more successful, in their mind, journey through these organizations of NASA or JPL or anything related to that. And why is that? Well, they can be compartmentalized like a mofo, right? Compartmentalization requires that you interview the employee prior to hiring them. And again, the pre-censorship that I'm going to continue beating up that Rod Serling talked about in his interview in 1959, If any of you want to see that, just look up Rod Serling interview 1959. Listen to the whole thing. It's about 20 minutes. And you will listen to one of the most brilliant human beings in the world speak. But they make sure you can't think for yourself, and they make sure that you swallow and have swallowed all the official stories to date. If you want to work for an alphabet agency, you're going to be in the 98% fully compartmentalized outside of the paramidian stone of the pyramid, then you are going to be very susceptible to all suggestions and very patriotic towards official stories. And they will reward you financially, mentally, spiritually for being not that smart, okay? Now, let's say your kid goes into these organizations and we don't, in the next 10, 20 years, bust these organizations up and reveal them for what they are. Either because we can't, because there's a force pushing against us that's stronger than we are, or, I don't know, they disappear or something. Shit, I don't know. But your kid goes into one of these organizations and they're like, I am going to work on the Mars mission. It's what I want to do. Buzz Aldrin's estimate, because he has such a grasp of modern technology and rocketry, is 2040 we'll be on Mars as human beings. All right. Well, that's a good 22 years from today. So your kid's 8. They're going to get there in their 30s, supposedly. Maybe it's not them personally, but they're going to be sitting behind a computer, again, feeding them numbers for some fake fucking satellite or just some computer here on Earth, simulating down to the perfect delay, the journey to Mars. Well, maybe your kid gets to die another 20, 40 years later, probably 40 years later, thinking that they actually participated in a mission to Mars. Because the same scam that was run in 1969 is run in 2040, or whenever it occurs. So in their mind, they definitely have the fat paycheck because they're willing to go along with the scam. You as a parent didn't tell them that they are wasting their lives, right? Not necessarily wasting, but definitely not going anywhere. None of us would do that, right? And so you actually have created a scientific child, not necessarily intelligent, but smart, memorizer and repeater, and they have this sense of satisfaction their whole life as a citizen of the United States of America, let's just say. But in the end, the wheels of progress spun, burned rubber, and never took off, never went anywhere, right? So the flip side to the coin of this question is, and because it's one of these out-of-sight, out-of-mind games that we have to play, is does NASA or the United States of America or any other country have a hidden space program that accounts for all this progress? But somehow, they're actually landing on the moon. They're actually going to all these places with secret anti-gravity spaceships, whatever, right? I'm going to unequivocally say, hell no, they don't have any of that shit. And the reason why is that they would not continue risking the ISS up there being incapable of taking a picture of space without any stars, without any Milky Way, without Sirius, without the moon. They would eventually just blame it on a camera, get the structure up there, and film it. Now, a lot of you have done your due diligence on the space station itself and the fact that it is not, by a lot of structural engineers, capable of being up there with people in it. Because any reverberation in a transverse wave of energy, if someone were to fall down, for instance, in one of the capsules, which, again, it's weightlessness, but, you know, they could bump up against it, they're flying too fast in some zero-gravity situation, and they slam against the wall. That force from their body slamming into the fabric of the space station would then reverberate down in an S-curve, a transverse wave, which would then amplify as it goes down and potentially whip out one of the components on the other side. I'm not a structural engineer. I don't know if that's truly the situation, but I've seen more than one video online from people with credentials that easily say this is not possible. One of the other big things about the ISS that I think I forgot to mention in one of my episodes, maybe I didn't, but the whole idea that no one ever filmed the creation of this space station. Well, what is man always about? Man is always about archiving accomplishments like this, right? There's a new show that, it's not technically new, and they've got tons of videos. I can't remember the name, but it's probably good I don't remember the name. That way I don't get any, like, I don't know, specific strikes or butthurt from their community. It's these two dudes. One seems to be fairly mega geeky, and the other one's sort of kind of geeky. And they're doing these fun videos about all kinds of things. Very similar to Deep Thoughts in terms of topics that are the more lighthearted topics. They're going for numbers. They're going for the demographic. Nothing wrong with that. But they covered the moon missions. And they have uncovered a brand new twist on the moon missions. Brand new. I've never heard this before. And it is the new thing that you guys need to be aware of. And I think it feeds into keeping this facade that is fake space and green or blue screen, you know, water tanks that are essentially the ISS composite footage, right? Again, Gravity the movie showed up out of thin air, and I will tell you, my colleagues here in Los Angeles who have all the gold statues you could possibly imagine said that they were pulled into the break room of their respective companies and shown Gravity, like trailers of it. And these dudes' jaws were totally on the ground. I guess it was a company in Germany that did most of the special effects. And they just couldn't believe the quality of the swapping of the hands and the face to create all these amazing shots of the ISS being ripped to shreds, right? You can assume that the covert agencies are 10 times beyond that in terms of rendering quality and that sort of thing, right? But these gentlemen touched on this guy that died at 94. He just wrote a book. Again, he's selling a fucking book, okay? But what they said was, because they want to leak some of the truth out, but they want to bend it at the end so that they can keep the scam going for even longer. So they're willing to admit that Stanley Kubrick participated at least in Apollo 11. We think he also, per his confession video, which they did not touch with a 10-foot pole, which is very interesting. They said that they hired Stanley Kubrick, and they said that, you know, he refused the first time and then was probably threatened for the second go. According to Stanley, in the confession video, there was no problem. He was on board. It was a challenge of all challenges. He'd just done 2001 A Space Odyssey that developed all the special effects that they were going to need. It was not a chance experience that movie was greenlit with no finished script for $15 million, one of the highest budgets in the history of film at that time. Only a couple movies, I think, were higher than that at the time. Yeah, go get a movie greenlit without a finished locked script. Go try to do that. But they said that Stanley did make every single piece of fake footage that we saw in all the Apollo missions, all seven. And that, I mean, you know, once you look at this Apollo footage nowadays, it is such a clay model of the moon surface. It's utterly laughable. Like, you can literally see the lack of detail in the craters and stuff, volcanic bubbles. But they had this all prepared just in case they failed. And when they got to the moon, they said that Neil Armstrong came down off the staircase, and either before or after his famous phrase about, you know, one giant step for mankind, he says supposedly, okay, and this is what's funny, they always kind of frame the comment, well, then he said, but it was never televised, okay, that there were a bunch of spacecraft already there, and that they were all enormous on the edge of a crater lip, right? And this old guy who was selling this book, I can't remember his name offhand. I'm gonna probably grab his name for my next moon episode that's specifically devoted to the moon. He said that he saw the photographs that they took, that they were met by the aliens just on the surface of the moon, just doop-a-doop-a-doo. How you doing, man? You got to get the fuck out of here, because this is our place, and, you know, you're not allowed to be here. Don't come back, right? Get your moon rocks and get out of here is kind of what they were told, I guess. But then this old man, and this is what's just a classic, classic sign of a desperate dude. He drew pictures. He drew hand drawings of the photographs that supposedly he saw. Okay. Old guy. This is great. This is great. If you had to sit let's say you just had an average relative, right? They're not a sci-fi person. They're not a movie designer. So they don't have any native skills in this area, right? You see this all the time with UFO stories from families that are obviously faking the crap out of their story just to get some money because they're selling something, right? The guy draws a series of like half a dozen identical ships on the edge of a crater. They are essentially super low polygon pillboxes, sort of like a casket looking poly thing. And to this guy, that was futuristic. Did you see how I drew it in polys? You know, I have this theory about how ships could be polygons, and it looked juvenile as juvenile could get. The last fucking thing you would probably ever make a ship to look like if you were an alien. But to him, that was huge, right? This whole thing about the Roswell crash, and, you know, you'll hear this military story that they knocked it out of the sky with radar. Well, why pick radar, right? Radar is just electromagnetic waves, and, you know, if you want to fly through the universe or do any interdimensional travel, I'm sure the wear and tear from natural universe forces is way beyond any man-made radar, right? Dr. Stephen Greer reignited the theory of the radar story and said that they had much more powerful radars back then than we'd use today, and that's how they shot the ship out of the sky that had the three aliens in it, okay? So this story is a forgery. But what they said was, once they realized that there were aliens on the surface of the moon, they switched to all this fake footage. Now, again, if the three astronauts die in the mission because it goes really, really bad, faking that they're on the moon doesn't make any goddamn sense, because what's going to happen when they fall out of the sky in this capsule with the parachute on it and they're not in there, or they're dead bodies, or they can't be in there because they're on the moon and they're dead? Because they crashed this horrible excuse for a spaceship called the Lunar Lander, right? We're going to tear that a new one in the next episode. It doesn't work. There's no press conference. The fathers of three families don't come home. So it's a failure on the first mission. And you think there's going to be a second, third, fourth mission? Hell no. They didn't take any chances. These people were going to come home regardless, which is why they could continue milking the ship. Once you realize the benefit to those who are on the take, and, you know, hey, if we're all doing a big role-playing exercise, if the moon missions are just nothing but a big LARP, then you, in the end, logistically wouldn't allow, even if someone walked in the room, say Apollo 15, and they go, hey, man, we think we have it. We think we have the technology to actually get to the moon. Oh, really? Yeah, we got this booster and we got this anti-gravity thing we just finally polished off. I think it's going to be a cinch to go there. You think NASA would say, oh, well, then I guess we won't continue faking it on a movie set. We're actually going to risk everyone's lives. We're going to take this sweet thing that we have that makes money, and we're going to potentially lose all that cash. I don't think so. They wanted a surefire thing. So you ask me why they fake it today, well, they have no technical means that they're willing to risk, at least, to forge the stars and all the shots. It's too much effort, right? Was it the ISS supposedly goes around the Earth every 90 minutes and has a sunset or a sunrise every 45 minutes? Okay. Well, everyone right now, the majority, I don't know what the numbers are, but the majority of mankind believes that we are there, up in space. Listener just said, well, I saw the ISS go by. right? I got friends that said they saw it go by. And then I heard how fast it goes by. And my buddy, okay, this is what's wild. He told a story. This guy's a big visual effects legend, right? He tells me and a bunch of other people that he was on a rooftop with a bunch of his buddies and they had a camera pointed at their exact place where the ISS was going to go by, and that he looked through the telescope and saw it. And eventually I said, hey, buddy, you know we didn't go to the moon, right? Yes. He does believe we didn't go to the moon. Good. Do you realize you can't look through a telescope and see the ISS just up there hovering? It's not in geocentric orbit. It is doing what we call hauling ass, right? The amount of frames that you're able to take in an average camera running at 29 frames a second, I think you're able to get maybe 3 frames of it going over the moon's surface, maybe. So the only thing they could have done was take a camera, put it on a telescope, have it blasting the frames, and then slow, you know, go back after it's passed over, roll back the footage on a monitor on the roof, and say, there, guys, you see that thing right there? Isn't that the shape of the ISS? Yeah. Okay, well, then you saw the ISS. You can't just look up and see it. Now, you can see really shiny dots going around the Earth. I've seen these as kids, you know, satellites supposedly going around the Earth, right? Now, someone just realized and mentioned in the comments, I think, quite fairly, that if we have a planet that's being visited by UFOs on a constant basis, kind of the Bill Cooper model of the abyss, where they're living on the bottom of the ocean, they're visiting us in Devil's Tower, whatever, that them entering the atmosphere would make potentially a streak, and they're landing, or they're taking off and they're going the other direction. I thought it was interesting that, I think it's very interesting that they can predict meteor showers. That here we are hurling through the universe as a part of a supposed greater construct called the galaxy. And they know of these clouds of meteors that are on cyclical waves coming by Earth's atmosphere, and that we can go out and look. Now, I've done this probably half a dozen times in my own lifetime before I was probably 20 years old. But there's some times I've done it in my 20s, I think. I don't think I've done it in my 30s, but you hear about meteor showers and you go outside and you look, and sure enough, it's usually very low volume meteors. You might see like 2 or 3 really good ones. If you've seen more, then you've had a better experience than I have. But I've even been in Kansas with almost no light pollution, sitting on a trampoline looking straight up, and didn't see any major, flurries in the sky. But what if meteor showers are nothing more than the scheduled appearance of our brothers in space, or the dome owners, or whatever? Like, yeah, tell your people that you're going to have a, that there's a meteor shower, because we're going to bring in, 25 of our dudes. And we'll stagger their entry so that it doesn't look organized. And and then we're going to leave on this day. So you might want to say that another one's coming by on that particular time. And that way it's all covered. Well, I saw a meteorite. But you see meteorites all the time without any scheduled appearances, right? Again, there's, in my lifetime, okay, I don't know how many big meteorites I've seen. I've probably seen a good half dozen massive falling stars. I mean, big furry fireworks coming into the atmosphere, and it wasn't a space station, and it wasn't a space shuttle exploding or whatever. But they are always going from top to bottom, right? Never up from the horizon. A little off topic, but I think that that's very important when you think about the answer to the question of why do they fake space. Man, I look up, I see stars. You know, we're calling them stars. We have people that film them with cameras, and again, they're very bizarre looking. It has been proven to not be anomalies of the atmosphere, and it is proven not to be an anomaly inside the camera. As I've said in the past, once the camera's moved and shaken, any anomalies that are a part of the light that you're getting should also wiggle as well. Because one, the atmosphere is gonna shake no matter what. It's sort of like looking at the bottom of a pool during the daytime. All the refraction is constantly moving, right? But when you see a mohawk, again, on a star, and then you move the camera, you know, the atmosphere is out of your control, and the mohawk doesn't change, then you have to assume the mohawk is really there somehow. But now let me, in closing, getting close to the closing here, let's run a scenario. You create a YouTube channel like this, and you focus exclusively on the fraudulent space agencies of the world, and let's say you get millions and millions of subscribers, and you are the one that is starting to crack this thing open. Everyone's paying attention to you. You don't make any mistakes in your videos, so your credibility is super high. And so some black suits come and visit you at your house, and they've got a car, and they say, well, we need you to come with us. Don't worry, you're going to be just fine. You'll be home tonight in your bed, and you'll live a nice long life, but we need to talk to you because you're obviously touching on subjects that are very near and dear to our employers' hearts. And so you go off with these folks, and they take you to some NASA facility, and they sit you down in a beautiful boardroom, providing you all the amenities that you need to feel comfortable. And they sit across the table from you, and they compliment your intellect. They say, well, you know, we're very impressed with your whole portfolio of videos. Your thought process is very sound. And you know what? You got us. We know you didn't think of everything, but you aggregated it better than most. And they say, okay, here's the deal. You're right. We haven't been to the moon. We're not on Mars. There's no space station. We have things that we put up in low atmosphere that you might call satellites, but even those don't perform the way that we say they do. But here's the thing. We inherited, the guy's talking to you, the girl's talking to you, say, look, we didn't invent this whole problem. We inherited it. But we've done the math on it in terms of its benefits, its pros and cons to society. And they say it's overwhelmingly more positive than it is negative. And so we've had several meetings over several decades since this agency has existed, about 60 years. And we've decided that all of us unanimously decided we regret that we're not doing what we say we do. We do feel the pain that you feel, and we are desperately trying to get there. But in the meantime, we realize that to announce to the people of the world that NASA is all bullshit, JPL is all bullshit, will stunt the growth of all space programs for potentially 100 years, because no one's going to fund it anymore, because no one can trust it anymore. We've tried models of transparency, but they fall apart very quickly. So, we're inviting you inside of our circle. We've got some paperwork you need to sign to shut you up. In fact, you know, we can take your YouTube channel off to sci-fi. We're going to change your theme a little bit. There's a big bonus in it if you're willing to say to your listeners, you were skeptical, but you thought about it. We've got a whole script for you to read, a whole theory of science of how you got from not believing that it's real to believing it's real. We're actually going to arrange a mission for you to go to the ISS, the stage where we film this, and you will be a part of history because we are now getting kids into science more, which we're not, of course. We're inventing technology that didn't exist before, which eventually will become the science that most likely will lead to the next stage of science, which will actually get us into space safely. We are secretly keeping the Orion Project going. We have a lot of amazing data coming in, and now we have some theories about how we can protect man inside the very vulnerable Van Allen belts, the invisible plasma currents going in space. When we do figure out how to get to the moon, you'll be right there. You'll be the next science guy. You'll be the Neil deGrasse Tyson. What would you do? What would you do if they validated you, told you that it's true? They said, look, but the world is round. We have flown up and seen it, and it we've flown completely around it. And here's a videotape, by the way, of us going around, going over the South Pole. You can watch this. We flew over it in five different angles, so you can see it. You can sit here all day long. Promise it's not CG, because the guy's sitting in the plane waving at you. And by the way, we'll take you over the Antarctica so you know that we're not lying. It's round. Sorry. What do you do? Consequently, the channel that's out there that peddled this awful cover story, which, by the way, ended with the episode where the two guys go, and a very funny, it's a very upbeat, funny, well-produced show. I mean, it's actually got what looks to me like a full production team behind it, but yeah, maybe there are some talented guys. Maybe one of the two geeks is phenomenal at lighting a studio and putting all the composite footage together and writing the scripts and getting it all perfect and just banging these babies out. And obviously being able to fly around the world and do all these interviews on the ground. I mean, it seems like a complete shilly fucking show with big-ass paychecks. But they asked each other, because they're asking the question. The episode's based on the question, did we go to the moon? And so the very last thing they say is, did we go to the moon? Yes, we did. And then they're automatically peddling the alien story. I mean, you know, it's like, Christ, getting to the moon is an outrageous claim to begin with, but to beat the outrageous claim that can't be proved, that has been proven to be false, by claiming a more outrageous, ridiculous story over that, it should make you laugh. It should make you laugh. Really? Please. I don't think anyone is thumbing their nose in the face of God. I don't think anyone has the balls to do that. Not an alien, not a human. So if this is a flat earth, and anybody knows it within these organizations, they did not find God in a firmament dome. They didn't. Because that's one thing I don't think you could get. You might get one psychopath who's like, yeah, screw God, I'm a Satanist, and blah, 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 blah. I know devil's somewhere. We just got to dig deeper into the, you know, the soil of the earth. We'll find Beelzebub. Mm-mm. So the only flat earth disc conspiracy that I would subscribe to would be the other two, which is that they found the aliens that owned the place and they had a conversation. Wasn't it Colonel Bird or whatever that flew down there and said he saw a lush world after he flew over the edge of the Antarctica super cold area, right? The other theory is that it's just a barrier, and then beyond that is another ocean with a bunch of other civilizations out there on continents. And for whatever reason, that one doesn't make any sense to me, because this would be a very intentional construct, right? I mean, they're trying to keep us in here. And so to have a bunch of other continents outside of it, those would have to be the owners. And no one's, to my knowledge, ever answered what's beyond those continents, right? Is the dome out there? Whatever. And this question came up too, which is that at my smoke lounge, which is, do you think that we've ever launched a vehicle up far enough, if you believe in a dome theory, that it goes up and smacks the dome? And I think if you do some basic due diligence in mathematics on the disc is 60,000 miles around or bigger, and then you do a 180 arc, you know, from say 0 degree to 180, with 90 being directly in the center, you have a dome that is way higher than any of our rocketry's ever been. The best you could do is try to fly it over the South Pole, and then it bangs into the wall. That'd be the best you could do. But here's what I think is sad. I think it's sad that when I see a comment where someone says, dude, space doesn't exist, and therefore, gravity doesn't exist. It's all bullshit. It's air pressure, air pressure, air pressure. And again, when we vacuum out cubes and put objects in there, they fall to the earth inside these things. And I think we did it in high school too. But you can take a jar and suck all the air out, so there's no more pressure in there. And according to these folks that think it's air pressure, then the feather in there or the anything in there is going to start floating in the center because there's no air pressure, right? It's going to be zero gravity all of a sudden. It's not the way it works. Try it. I don't know about you, but I think that there's a lot of technical innovations that lie on the other side of us getting out of the mass pulling against mass pulling theory of gravity, which again is a phenomenon because it doesn't fucking work, to the mass being pushed on by its fundamental particle, which is ether. Ether, of which, you know, has no positive or negative charge. It is merely a particle that gets caught inside its own turbulence. It spins in three-dimensional spheres. Again, I've said this in a comment, but let me bring this into the this particular episode. I think I touched on this mildly in one episode, but I did my gravity episode before I figured out this perfect analogy for gravity for everyone to understand gravity. And I always thought in my 10-year project for the unified theory, which is to describe ether, or sorry, to describe gravity without knowing about ether, it now makes complete sense, which is a bubble floating in water, right? It's perfect. How does a bubble hold itself together? Well, it's being pushed on by water on the outside. That's how it exists. There's no pull, there's only a push. Well, that's exactly how everything gets created in the universe, okay? The water's moving constantly, right? That's ether. Time to think about it. I think the episode I did yesterday talked about this exact same thing. You see gravity every day. You see it. You feel it. It's not a goddamn myth. You may want to call what they have said gravity is a myth and it doesn't exist. Sure, fine. A bad theory is a bunch of bullshit, so it doesn't exist. I'm with you. But I am being held to this earth right now by gravity. That's what we're going to call it. You might want to think up a new name. The glue. It's not air pressure, people. Why do they fake space? Well, I think because it's big money. I think because it's huge money. To go any further in the answer, we have to reach out to those other conspiracies, which are absolutely outrageous. It's not that they're not true, but right now they're just outrageous claims. That's fine. Most theories of all things seem outrageous until proven. I think we have a soul. Well, from some perspectives, that's a very outrageous claim. I think there's plenty of evidence. Little kids that are super duper old. You could just see it in their system. Then you have adults that seem to be dumb as a bag of fucking hammers, right? No matter how old their mortal coil gets, they're just absolute fucking morons. Right? They have a very brand new soul. Maybe they were an insect before. But I could say that there's more brilliance in half of the jumping spiders in my house than some of the morons I see in the real world, right? Not in my personal circles, but holding protest signs against the current administration. I think that's a good group of them right there. I think you feel me. Thought it was a great question. Thank you, commenter, for putting this in my head. If you haven't been to deepthoughtsradio.com, please go. If you're watching this on YouTube, you can get it on your phone or your car to listen to when you're driving. If you're stuck in that realm and you want to come home and see what the show actually looks like, then hop over to YouTube and maybe consume an episode or two. There's pretty good dialogue inside of YouTube. But if you're not wanting to sign up for that service and you have a Facebook account, which most human beings do, you can come into our Lock Facebook group. Great group of people. Super funny stuff all day long. And again, you don't have to believe in flat earth or any of that crap. But man, some of those memes that are put up there are just priceless. We have a lot of memes that pick apart science. Like some I've mentioned in this episode. For the very few of you that feel like you'd like to contribute monetarily to the show, there's a Patreon page up there. It's a pretty good service. We have 8 Patreons right now. I don't think I've ever gotten over 11. So if that's your bag, feel free to join. But just thank you for supporting the show. I'll see you in the next episode. Take care of yourself and someone else. Over and out.